Today's podcast episode is presented by Podgo. Podgo is the easiest way for you to monetize your podcast, providing podcasters with a flat rate for ad space so you always know how much you get when you include an ad from Podgo. Apply today to become a member and immediately be connected with advertisers that fit your audience. That's podgo.co at podgo.co. And be sure to add our podcast in the How Did You Hear About Podgo section of the application.
Hey, hey, it's Conrad Thompson, and you're listening to Everything Pro Wrestling.
Folks, welcome to Everything Pro Wrestling. Everything Pro Wrestling is a show by the fans, for the fans. I'm your host, Conrad Cushman, joined tonight by my co-host, Mr. Derek.
What's up, what's up?
We are here to review AEW Dynamite for December 9th, 2020. This is coming off the show that had Sting's debut. We also had Kenny Omega winning the world title and Kenny Omega making an appearance on Impact Wrestling. Derek, did you happen to check it out?
No.
You're a hater. With that being said, though, guys, you know what to expect from the show, and hopefully you guys are enjoying it. And right now, we are going to get things started right like we always do every week with my boy, Montezy, for the intro. Enjoy. So listen in, let the knowledge begin, the opinion and the lesson, yes, everyday pro wrestling, they can never be you. Well, 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 we are back once again with another Dynamite. We see the background is orange, not as cold up in here. Even though we did have some snow in Buffalo.
Yeah, I wasn't expecting it. I was hoping and praying that we weren't getting any snow until like Christmas Eve, Christmas Day, and then be done with it again.
Nah, we skated last year, I think, too well.
Yeah, we did.
Anywho, enough about local crappy weather in Buffalo. And let's talk some AEW Dynamite. But once again, guys, if this is your first time joining us, you know what to do. Help us out by clicking that subscribe button if you're watching on YouTube, even if it's on the podcast. Hit subscribe to the podcast. That way you never miss an episode with me and Derek. Always fun. We try to do AEW Dynamite reviews. I know the reviews have been less lately, dealing with some personal family issues right now, but I promise you, eventually we'll get back to where we were. So just make sure you guys hit the subscribe button, and you never know when we're going to drop a fun video. So please stick with us, and thank you to everybody who has been joining us and watching our videos for the time being. I appreciate each and every one of you guys. But live chat, what is going on? I appreciate everybody who is in here. Jocelyn, first one in here tonight. What is going on, Jocelyn? Anything you want to say to Jocelyn? Don't say what I think you're about to say.
Ricky.
Just when I was going to say something. BJ's in the chat as well. What's going on, BJ? Thank you for joining us. Hopefully everything is all well with you, brother. Ace is in the house tonight as well. What's going on, Ace? I see you throwing up the two sweet in the chat. Hey, Zeus. DeLeon. Jesus is now crowned the new John Silver of the chat. Jesus, one of the funniest dudes in the Everything Pro Wrestling Facebook group. Got to give him a shout out. and Jocelyn said, shh. All respect. All respect. We're going to talk Dynamite. Uh-oh, Eric Brennan, haven't seen you in a while. What is going on? He said, heel Kenny is a whole new level. I love it. Kenny is something.
Yeah, Kenny is on point.
We'll get into that, though, into the show. But let's start off with what we kicked off the show with, because I thought it was fast-paced, and I kind of predicted they were going to start off with this. We have the Young Bucks versus the Hybrid 2, TH2. I know some people were pretty upset. TH2 didn't get their entrance. We didn't get the Bernie.
Yeah.
Do, do,
do, do, do, do. Yeah, yeah. If you don't know what that is, Weekend at Bernie's, great movie. Go back and watch that.
Derek will make you watch that.
I will make you watch that. That is a great movie.
It is, though. It's a classic. If you guys have never seen it, you'll grow to appreciate it. Little silly, of course, but always fun. Unique.
Unethical.
But creative.
But creative.
Malik Murray, what's happening, brother? Thank you for joining us. Happy to see you in here, Malik. You guys are telling me what you thought of this tag match while me and Derek go through it. If TH2 was able to get the victory here, they have earned themselves a tag team title shot against the Young Bucks. The tag match was a tag match. I thought the pacing in this one felt weird in the beginning, and it wasn't anything the Bucks did, and it wasn't anything TH2 did. I just felt like it was off. I don't know how you felt about it. I mentioned it to you when we were watching it live.
I felt like I didn't notice it at first until you actually mentioned it. It did seem a little, to me, it seemed like they were trying to map things out first, like in the midst of doing everything. Like, okay, well, I'm waiting for you. I need you to be right here. Okay, you're right here. Let's go.
I wouldn't even say it was that, though. It wasn't like the level of, like, you need to get there. Like, the crowd chant seemed off. Everything with this match seemed kind of like bloop, 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 bloop. And I don't know if it's just, hey, maybe you guys are slowing down a little bit and somebody's not feeling it, but something was just a little off with this match. Not in a bad way. Not that it crushed the match. Just off.
Just off, yeah.
In this match, Matt Jackson, obviously, always the brother that's getting beat down, worked over, that lower back problem. Nick gets the hot tag in this one. Nick went off on the hot tag, as he usually does. He's one of the better hot tags in there. I love that you did that. At one point, I can't remember who got powerbombed onto the Acclaim. Was it Jack Evans? We're going to say it was Jack Evans for the sake of this. If I'm wrong,
spare me.
Jack Evans by the Young Bucks get powerbombed onto the Acclaim. They are upset with this afterwards. Definitely looked like one of them took a nasty fall, too. The one who doesn't rap. He definitely went down pretty hard. I was like, ooh, that knee looked like it took a little bit of a turn.
Yeah, it definitely did.
Then we get to one of my favorite spots in the match here. The Doomsday Device on the ramp, bro. At one point, someone's up on the shoulders. Nick Jackson hops up onto the ropes, turns around, and delivers the Doomsday Device. Freaking sweet, bro.
Yeah, that was a good way to use that. Good way to use that.
It was a nice transition. It was smooth. That's when I thought the match got better, where I was like, okay, now they're on point, because they were rocking out to the finish. At one point, though, they go for more bang for your buck. If you guys don't know, it's the combination of like the senton rollover into a moonsault. I think 450 is how it ends.
I think it's a 450.
Maybe, or a Phoenix Splash. I can't remember, because I haven't seen them hit more bang for your bucks since Ring of Honor, I think.
Yeah.
It's actually been a while.
It is a 450. It is a 450.
They weren't able to pull this off because someone moved out of the way. Matt ends up hurting his leg, the same leg that was injured with FTR. He's holding it, and then all of a sudden, Angelico gets in. Nick Jackson is down and out, and he locks in that nasty, I don't even know what I want to call this, like leg deathlock. He just precisely has him, and I thought it was over. At one point, he's trying to get to the ropes. Jack Evans is doing what any tag partner would do. He has his back turned, making sure Nick's not going to get in. Mm-hmm, he's trying to stop him, and eventually Nick gets caught. Swanton off the top rope by Nick Jackson, a Meltzer driver to the floor after Jack Evans hits a beautiful cartwheel, handspring, moonsault to the floor. He gets caught. Meltzer driver to the floor. Brian Williams, if you're listening to this, put that move in. If not, Jesse from the Pro Wrestling Shoot, I see you in here. Clip it and send it to our boy.
Right.
Definitely need that Meltzer driver onto the floor for the AEW video game. BTE trigger on Angelico. Angelico sends this, sells this like Weekend at Bernie's. He just floats over onto his knees. He looks done. 1, 2, 3. The Young Bucks win. Nice surprise. They teased you with like the, oh, maybe they'll get a tag title shot.
You know, I would have liked to see them get a title shot. You know, it's been a while since they've been on the main card, you know, wrestling consistently. So for them to get a title shot, I would have enjoyed that a lot. But, you know, beggars can't be choosers, you know.
Right. Eric Brennan, I see your question in here. Eric, bring that up once we get to the Kenny Omega stuff, and I'll answer that for you for sure. He said he enjoys TH2 as a tag team here. Jesse from the Pro Wrestling Shoot was in the house saying, how goes it, fellas? I appreciate you. Malik Murray said, I got a question. Do you think the Young Bucks and FTR are going to have a ladder match for the tag titles? I think maybe for their blow-off match, they would do a gimmick match.
Yeah.
But I think FTR is so old school, we might see a cage match or something.
I would go for a cage match.
I just think they're so old school that they would want that stipulation. And I think the Young Bucks and FTR are on pause, but they're coming back to it. Similar to Cody and MJF, these are on pause. These feuds aren't over, in my opinion, yet.
Right. I think this would be very beneficial for TH2. Or, I mean, not...
Bucks?
Yeah, maybe the Bucks. Maybe the Bucks. No. You know what? Just because of watching TH2... I would give it, not the win. I wouldn't say the win, but I would give the advantage to them because that'd be more up their alley.
But I'm talking about FTR. So the question was FTR, will they face them in a ladder match? Could you see a ladder match?
No,
like TH2 in the Bucks ladder match makes sense. Like you were saying.
Yeah. That's an old school as they would say, good old fashioned barn burner. I think that's just an old school. You know, let's brash it out. You know, let's go.
Right. We'll see. I'm gonna say no. Derek will say we'll see. So
yeah.
On that, Malik. Ace said this was a good tag team match. Pro Wrestling Shoot said I got you, my boy. Sonny said Let me see. Really liked how they incorporated all the other two tag teams. And we're going to get into that too. B-Boy Skyline, what's good? Chris DeZuba, what's happening, brother? Jesus says he thinks it's FTR and Young Bucks at Revolution. That could be interesting. I'm not going to say no.
No. I think it would be bigger if it was at Double or Nothing.
It depends on what you consider their big show, but I think they want to make all their shows feel big. Let's talk about after the match. So the Acclaim, they were pissed. You see them lurking around ringside, and they're about to hop in to beat the beaten down Young Bucks. When SCU makes the save, came out...
out here looking like somebody's dad.
That was Derek's quote, not mine. Said they came out looking like dads, but angry Kazarian... I don't need to go to anger management. watch BTE if you don't know what I'm talking about. SCU makes the saves, though. So it looks like SCU is going to kind of be maybe the bumper feud. I don't know if this is over with the Acclaim in them.
I don't think so. I think they get the Acclaim will go up against SCU somewhere down the line.
Oh, it's next week. Oh, it's happening.
I mean like something bigger, though. You know what I mean?
So you think SCU is going to be the main feud? Like that was the setup to this?
I think so. I think that's... Because think about it. SCU's been coming out a lot lately trying to back other people up.
Yeah, this is true. Where is Scorpio Sky is what I want to know. I've been missing Scorpio Sky on Dynamite, but Jesus just brought up a great point in the chat. Acclaim finally getting Dynamite time. Dynamite time is not something that comes easy these days.
Nope.
So take it when you can get it. We get a little promo from MJF. Nostrils were a-flaring in this. And he says that he is going to beat Orange Cassidy tonight, and he is going to keep the Dynamite Diamond Ring. You can say it. Go ahead.
Kiss the ring.
Thank you for editing it.
You're welcome.
And then we get a rundown of the card for tonight. Cool. Darby Allin. We got to go to Darby Allin real quick. Darby Allin tonight, I thought that he had a really cool promo. Sometimes they're really good. Sometimes you're like, why?
Right.
Why did you do that? Right. Always mystery around him. But Darby Allin did an ink blot promo tonight. First ink blot was clearly absolute Ricky Starks. And he said,
Ricky. Spanish.
That's the second time this has happened to me. He said, Starks, he compared him to a wolf in sheep's clothing. It was the first thing that comes to your mind. It's Ricky Starks, wolf in sheep's clothing. And then we get to Hobbs. A picture of Hobbs, and he says, snake in the grass, because Will Hobbs turned on them.
Right.
Next, we have Cage, and he said, puppet. And then he laughed, but he said, wait a second. But he's the number one contender. And this goes back to what I said. I can't remember how many shows ago, many shows ago. Why was this never finished between Cage and Darby? But they're coming back to it, so I like that in an aspect. This dude powerbombed you in a body bag with tacks. How could you not be upset?
He threw him out the ring into a ladder.
Right, like. Dude, things got wild on this, and I don't know. You have to get your stuff back, and I think Darby Allin's going to do that. And then he said, wait, Darby, one more picture. And it's a picture of the outline of Sting's mask. I definitely thought you were about to yell like Sting into the mic, and I saw it getting ready to turn red, which means you're too loud. When he sees Sting, he actually laughs like we're laughing right now. He just laughed, and that was the end of it.
Hi, Dad.
Terrible. Whoever made that meme when your dad comes back from getting smokes in 2001, you're wrong for that, but funny.
Yes.
So next, hold on here. So Jesus said he's still feuding with Sean Spears. Get it on Dynamite. We need it. But I know that feud's not over yet. Chris DeZuba says NXT blew AEW out of the water tonight. I think that's supposed to be to be fair. I haven't checked out NXT. Perhaps. NXT has been better some weeks. I'm not saying it hasn't. I'll have to check it out, though. B-Boy Skyline said layers. Malik says he's got another question. Do you think that Darby Allin versus Ricky Starks in a street fight for the TNT Championship could happen?
Ooh.
I'll give that one to you.
Actually, you know what? I would really like to see that. I think that would be good. I think that would be like... Because think about it. Like they alone, just in a regular match, they put on a good match every single time. I have not once been not impressed.
Yeah, with them. But I feel like Ricky Starks needs to get some W's against... people that matter on Dynamite. I feel like Ricky Starks wins on Dark, but he doesn't get the W's on Dynamite.
Yeah. He definitely does need the wins on Dynamite. That has to happen soon. So I feel he needs to get wins before they actually match up.
Could you see another like Cracker Barrel spot? Remember that with the barrel on the steps? Yo, Darby Allin is a madman.
Yeah, I could definitely see another Cracker Barrel spot.
I hope we don't see that, but absolutely nuts. Let's see here. Jesus said they'll never forget. Give it time and they come back to it. Unlike, oh, come on, Jesus. We ain't bringing that up. Brian Cage is the next TNT champion, Ace says. I don't think it's time for that yet.
No, not yet. Not yet.
Okay. All right. And this is leading into the next thing here. So we'll do Jesse's question, then we'll get into the next segment here. He says, are we going to see Sting versus Darby, or are they building for a team thing? I think it's a team thing. I think it's going to be a six-man tag with Team Taz versus Sting, Darby, and Cody. That way, it really limits Sting's time. But I'm saying Sting will be fine in that role.
I get it, but...
Sting comes in, all he's got to do is the I won't yell. We're just gonna keep doing the Sting motion and the pound the chest, Stinger splash, couple clotheslines, you know, the Sting chops, the backhands, and maybe a Scorpion deathlock and a death drop if he still wants to. That's it. That's all you need to be satisfied.
Right. I don't think he's nimble enough for the deathlock anymore. Death drop, I think he can still do.
I think he can hold on to it.
Think so?
I think he can. Sting. Up. No, he'll be fine. Yeah. I think Sting will be fine to do that. Chris DeZuba said they need to definitely showcase Starks more for sure. John L. Jackson, what's going on, brother? Haven't seen you in a while. Hope things are well with you. B-Boy Skyline said, will Cage's wife come to AEW? I don't know. I like Melissa Santos. She's cool.
Melissa Santos.
Lucha Underground announcer. If you don't watch Impact, you wouldn't know. See? Right. Oh, now he wants to Google things. He wants to do research like he should do before the show. Dream Team, Sting and Darby. I like it. Let's go into Cody's promo, though. Cody comes out for a promo. The pomp, the circumstance. 2 minutes of pyro. Cody is out there. And Arn's in the ring with him.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Arn's in the ring with him. Melissa Santos, you're good now? Yeah. You know? Yeah. All right. So he's out there, and before Cody can even really get into anything, lights go out, hit Sting's music, and Sting comes out, looks around, they do his thing, and the first person to speak is Arn Anderson. Now, Arn should speak because Arn done whooped Sting's ass enough times to make Sting look like a foolish baby face. I blame the Horsemen for this. And during it, Arn Anderson comes up to him and he says, I just had to make sure that this is real. Arn can say the simplest thing and he makes it better.
Yes.
So Arn does it, but Arn boogies. He's like, all right, this ain't got nothing to do with me.
I'm out.
And then Tony Schiavone looks like he's getting ready to go, and Sting's like, whoa, Tony, bring it in, man. And he gives Tony Schiavone a hug. And I thought that was a really cool, like, WCW-esque moment.
Yeah, definitely.
So I thought that was really good. At the same time, we had this weird moment then with Cody. Cody is in there, and he said that, Sting, I owe you a thank you. I owe you a thank you for coming out and saving us last week. And Sting says that he's not here for Cody.
No. And that's unusual. That's unusual. When people come to AEW, it's usually, Cody, what's up? Let me holler at you for a minute.
Right, but I think Cody's not used to playing second fiddle, and I think this is playing into the Darby and Cody thing. Yeah. Cody gets the pyro. Cody's always featured. This rematch is going to be good when these two have it.
Yeah, it's going to be excellent.
So when Sting references to why he's here, they pan up to Darby. Darby's sitting in the same position Sting used to sit in when he was going against the NWO by himself in the rafters. Very cool. Very cool. I like the little homage. Are you an homage or an homage guy? How do you say it? You pay...
Homage.
You say homage?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Yeah. I just wanted to sound fancy. Homage. I'm sorry. Yeah. So...
Tomato.
I was going to say a rap line, but I won't right now. So after this, this big build-up and lead... And Sting is here, and Cody, like, gets disrespected. We're not used to seeing it. He puts his arm around Cody, like, you know, does the shoulder rub, like, I used to know your dad, kid. And he was like, you know, good seeing you around, kid. And Cody's not a kid anymore.
Right.
Cody is the executive vice president for AEW. He feels disrespected a little bit.
And he wiped off the face paint. He was like...
right. And I thought it was very well done. I think this is why you use Sting. I don't think this is the same as some people want to compare him to other veterans on the roster. I just think it's completely different. In other companies, like, oh, you complained when this guy came back and he's younger than him, blah, blah, blah. I don't think Sting's going to be used like that here, though.
No. Given the fact that he had that neck injury, his work time is going to be very limited. Like his on mic time, probably going to be a lot. But in ring time, probably going to be limited. Just because he's up there in age and not as nimble as he used to be. I think ring time isn't going to be that much.
Yeah.
I wouldn't do it.
And by the way, Jesus in the chat, Dream Team, Nakazawa and Conrad. No, knock it off. All right. You're welcome, Derek.
Players. Actually, I have a mock-up of that at home.
I'm waiting to see this still.
I got you, bro.
Derek said this for a long time about the Derek Order shirts. Shout out to anyone who bought them. We also have those bad boys for sale. I will put a link in the live chat for you guys if you're looking for some stocking stuffers, perhaps. Just saying. Throwing it out there. Rockstar, what's good? See you in the chat, brother. See you in the chat. Hope he puts these young talent over with Sting. Yeah, I like I said, guys, I wouldn't be too worried about it. I think we're going to be fine. I think too many people are worried about Sting for no reason.
Yeah.
We get a promo backstage with Taz. Team Taz is back there.
It's Taz.
And Taz has four people with him tonight. He's got Cage, Ricky Starks, Powerhouse Hobbs, and Hook. His son is backstage. Hook has joined Team Taz? Maybe Cody went too far and pissed him off? I don't know what's the reasoning behind that. You've got something to mess with there. Taz cuts a great promo like he always does. Ricky Starks in this look like a star.
Ricky. All right. Spanish.
We're done. That's strike three. There's no more Ricky Spanish on here. It was really well done. Taz cut a great promo. I love it. This was good. Like I said, Starks looks like a star. I don't know what it is. He stood out to me in this segment. It was just great.
Yeah. It. Taz has always cut a good promo. And you could tell after all the years of being out of it, you know, like physically out of it, he can still come back in and throw a good promo together.
He's got something to offer.
Yeah.
That's why Taz is in this role. And I like Taz. You like Taz as a manager more or an announcer?
I like him as a manager more.
I kind of agree. Like, I think if you let Taz do the damage, he could be something special.
Yeah. Just because he can still kind of get physical with people.
Right.
So him being an announcer, it's cool, but him being a manager is better.
Let's see here. I see people saying like father, like son. Rockstar can't repeat that on here. Cody versus Sting is coming. Cody versus Sting could definitely happen. Tom Colihue, shout out to him on Twitter @Colihue. He asked who the three people we think would face Sting. And I believe I had Cody, MJF, and Jericho were my three people that I could see facing Sting one-on-one.
Yeah, I could see it. I would put Jericho.
Actually, first. I lied. I think I put Kenny Omega over Cody because I think Kenny could do something good with Sting, too, if you build him up properly, give him a title shot.
Yeah.
You could do that if you wanted to. If his son can hit innovative suplexes like his dad, he'll do just fine in the ring. I know he could trash talk because he's from New York. I don't even know what to say to that, Sick. You're probably right.
Peace.
Next up, we got the Varsity Blondes versus FTR. Favorite part of this, watch it with my dad. And he goes, is that Jungle Boy? We just wanted to be like, who the fuck is Griff Garrison? But the Varsity Blondes are Griff Garrison and Brian Pillman Jr. They're taking on FTR with Tully here. This match was mullet. Just... Pillman's mullet was on point. So FTR dominates early on in this matchup. They're just putting a beat down on him. And there's eventually Pillman gets his spots in. Like, he looked like his dad tonight in a lot of the spots.
He did. He was very, very, very on point with his skills. And like they said, like JR pointed out, he's like bigger, if not bigger, like bigger than his dad, like physically.
Yeah, I think he definitely is. Because Brian Pillman started off small, but then once he got to like his later years, he kind of bulked up a little bit. Brian Pillman, if you guys didn't know, he was one of my favorites in WCW. Even when he was rocking the orange tights as a babyface, like the Cincinnati Bengals tights, Pillman Jr. to me is just dopeness. Like, you can't beat it. No, he was a good day. He was good. Like, I know a lot of people are like, WCW, who was watching that back then? But Pillman was good. He was a great light heavyweight. He introduced me to one of my favorites, Jushin Thunder Liger. I loved their matches. And this is about his son now. And his son was trained by Lance Storm. I'm glad to see Pillman Jr. getting the shot here. It's weird because on MLW, he's featured as like one of their best mid-carders on there, I would say, or best tag wrestlers. And he's now on like the singles run because of the Hart Foundation kind of breaking up and everything else with MLW. But here, he's not seen that way. Like, when I see Pillman, I think of AEW Dark, and I'm like, oh, this is a dude getting a tryout, kind of.
Yeah, yeah. It's like the AAA of baseball, you know? It's like, hey, we're putting you here. You're good enough, but we need to see how well you perform in this league before you make it to the big leagues.
Right? I'm seeing crazy matches for Sting. Matt Hardy versus Sting in a compound match. I could see that happen in Jesus. Let me see here. Do you think Sting can be a GM? I do not want a GM. I do not. I don't want to see Tony Khan really on television too much. Like, I don't want to see any of that stuff for AEW. We know who runs the show already. That doesn't matter. Jesse said, I think Omega wouldn't be a good pick for Sting. Omega's just too fast-paced. I think Jericho and maybe MJF would be the best choices. I'm still going to throw Cody in there too, but I think Omega could show his range here. That's why I think Omega would be fine with this. The problem is, you ain't hit no one-wing angel on Sting. Not right. With that neck. It's not worth it. You can't do that. But let's get back to the Varsity Blondes and FTR. So FTR dominates this match. We get a hot tag to Griff Garrison. Griff Garrison looks all right in the ring. You had brought up the only thing that you weren't feeling with him, the stiffness.
Yeah, yeah. He seemed like he's like right here and he's landing his punches or whatever. Any kind of move, he's like chest out, like back straight, and just kind of it doesn't seem natural.
Right. I don't know. Maybe some people aren't comfortable like that, though. I feel like if I was a wrestler, I would kind of look like that just by the way I do things. Like, you know, like when I run, it's like,
Yeah, yeah, but that's different, though. This seems like it's part of him, but not something that he would normally do all the time.
Right?
So, I don't know.
Sorry. House arguments happening on the phone at the same time. Shout out to my wife. See, if you listen to the show, you would know. And if you go back and listen to this, you got a shout out.
Right.
So eventually hot tag happens to Griff. Griff comes in, clears house. I thought he did well though for his Dynamite. I think this was his debut technically. I know he had that match with MJF, but this is the Varsity Blondes debut. Good night express to Pillman Jr. and 1-2-3. FTR take the dub. FTR gave a lot in this match. A little bit more than I thought they should have, but I was happy with the FTR come out looking strong, and that's exactly what they needed to do here.
Yeah, I feel like that should have been, like we discussed before, like a 10 to 15 minute match. Like, all right, coming in, you know, lay out, be done.
Sick says Double A versus Sting in a oh shit, my back match. Knock it off, Sick. I have Cody on there as well. Laugh out loud. You missed it. Sorry. I definitely missed it. Lots of happenings in the chat while I'm reading this. So my apologies, Jesse. And Jesse also laughed at what Six said. So next we come up on Hangman Page, who was backstage with Alex Marvez. Where are the Young Bucks when you need them? Backstage, Hangman is sitting there with a drink in his hand. And he is facing next week in a six-man tag, the Hardys and Private Party. The Hardy Party. What, not feeling the...
Not feeling the six-man tag, bro. I can't do it.
This is a good six-man tag, trust me. Have faith. So, he is saying, Hangman, you don't have any tag team partners next to you. Who are you going to choose? What are you going to do? And before Hangman can even say too much, two little weirdos pop up from behind the bar with cowboy hats on. It's Silver and Reynolds, the recruiters for the Dark Order. And they are saying, hey, partner, heard you need a partner.
Right.
And these two show up, and he's like, no, guys, I'm okay. He's like, come on, man, we just want to be your partners.
Right.
So Hangman is slowly starting to give in, like, hey, maybe this could work with these guys.
You know what? I don't think it would hurt they may not also benefit, but you know, it's just give him something to do. You know, get out of where he's at now. It's like he's just like, I feel like he's just stuck where he's at right now. Because Kenny's already where he needs to be.
I think Hangman's in a holding period.
Yeah.
But I think this is a great holdover period, too, till you bring back Mr. Brody Lee. Hangman Page, Brody Lee would be a good feud.
That would be, yeah.
Jesus wants to remind us that is the BTE champion, John Silver. We'll see next week when they have the Skittles throwing match.
Wait, what?
They're throwing Skittles at a wall. I don't know what it's going to be. I love the stuff Hangman's doing on BTE, Jesse said. I'm not a fan of the six-man tags as well. Hope we don't get six-man tag belts. I think it's happening. There's too many groups to not have them. We'll see. We'll touch on that another time.
I don't want it.
Let's talk about, I almost said EO, 10 versus Dustin Rhodes. This is what happens when you take too many wrestling notes. Dustin Rhodes with Lee Johnson coming out with him. Shout out to Jesus, Lee Johnson's number one fan, Jesus De Leon. Hook him up with an autograph, somebody. We got a real kind of like scary spine buster here with 10. Mm-hmm. Dustin's leg kind of got like caught.
Yeah. It was like if you look close enough, he had his right leg up or back, or however you want to look at it, and then his left leg was up for like a second, but then it came back down, and it was like, ugh. Very cringeworthy if that would have happened,
right? Ugh. It could have been much, much worse, but we ended up. Dustin was okay. Aaron Solo got mushed by 10 at some point in this match, showing 10's dominance here. Dustin ends up getting the victory here. We don't need to go through all of the subtleties here, but after the match, the Dark Order show up, and Evil Uno is out on the microphone. And he says, Dustin, listen, you know you're the third most important Rhodes on this show. Disrespect. And during all of this, he says, Dustin, would you like to be 7 in the Dark Order? So he has offered him a spot. Pause the multiverse for a second. Do you know why this was meaningful? In WCW, 7... I know you're not yawning at a WCW reference. This is good stuff. I'm breaking down history for you.
I mean, it's WCW.
The disrespect. Dustin. Dustin Rhodes was 7 in WCW. It was kind of a shitty character. If you go back and watch the vignettes, it looked really creepy. It was like some Freddy Krueger, like looking at kids in the window stuff. They had to immediately drop this upon his debut. Don't do that. They had to drop... his like debut, it just didn't work. Like, it was like too creepy. Why are you watching kids? What is the point of this? Whatever. He you'll find it. Just type it in. It's like on Botchamanias and stuff everywhere. So they offer him the spot of 7, and Dustin looks like he's thinking it over, and he slaps Uno in the face. And before the rest of the Dark Order can attack him, he says, no. He was like, you'll know when the time is right.
Right.
So, Derek, do you want to see him join it?
Can't speculate on that.
Yo, let me see here. Dustin to join the Dark Order. Interesting if he does and maybe tries to convert Cody. A lot of AEW Dark talent getting Dynamite time tonight. Yeah, Jesus, it was like that last week too. I think they gave a lot of guys who you haven't been seeing time, like the Acclaim, TH2. Right. Lee Johnson was on the show. 10, even. Like, they're giving a bunch of people shots, so I like it. And Jesse just said, oh shit, I didn't realize the 7 reference. Yes. And Rob comes in disrespectfully and says, fourth Pharaoh over Dustin. This is why Dustin's going to join the Dark Order, because you guys are going to push him to it. Don't do this, all right?
I mean, it's possible.
Let's see. Malik says, Brody Lee... he needs to come back at Revolution. Do you see Cody versus Kenny Omega? No. You know why? Because Kenny has the belt and Cody can't challenge for it.
Right.
It's not the time.
Not the time.
Next up, Tony Schiavone with Brandy and Shaquille O'Neal.
Oops.
Yo, stop. Shaq, baby. And we're not talking Shaq Fu. Great video game. If you never owned that, you did not have a really good childhood. Like,
yeah.
Go get yourself an emulator and play some Shaq Fu. If you want to get pissed off for a little bit, get the Sega version.
Yeah, definitely.
Shaq is out here, and when we talk about Shaq, Shaq had only one thing to say when he initially came out. He said, "Tony Schiavone, thank you for having me, and I want you guys to check out Manscaped." That's right. Shaquille O'Neal supports Manscaped. I know he does, Shaq, baby. So I'm going to just, you know, take the ball right here, no pun intended. And if you guys want to get yourselves a great Christmas gift, or for someone else, for the fellas, for the ladies, this thing should be in everyone's stocking. Get them the Lawnmower 3.0. You can even go out there and get them the foot duster, the ball deodorant, the draws. Like, if you want the draws, you got to buy them. All right? Manscaped.com, promo code EPW show. And that is how you guys can save 20% and get free delivery. It's the holiday season, baby, and the gifts keep on giving. And I got another gift for you, powerslam.tv. You guys can use the same promo code, EPWSHOW. That's also my Twitter handle, baby. You guys can put that in, and you guys can get one free month of pro wrestling on your boy, everything pro wrestling, Conrad Cushman. Tell him I sent you, and enjoy one free month of independent wrestling. Now put that in your stocking and smoke it, baby. Also, big shout outs to the sponsors of the podcast, my good friends, Everything College Basketball. They are covering all the latest in hoops. Go Tar Heels. They are the place that I go to talk college basketball. And last but not least, my good friend in the chat, Jesse from the Pro Wrestling Shoot. He has great podcasts that go up every week. Great interviews, whatever you want. Jesse has you covered. You guys can hear their ads if you listen to the podcast version of the show. And we thank our audio listeners as well for that. But Tony, Brandy with Shaq, let's talk about what they really were saying. Shaq comes out and says, "I'm a big fan of Jade." And Shaq just never amazes me to how big he is. He doesn't even look right in chairs. Like, he looks scrunched up, like he's uncomfortable.
Like sitting there like a
sinking movie scene.
Yeah, like he's sinking like right into the chair, just like,
Hoops. Shaq is out there doing it.
Stale beer at me.
There was no beer. Tony Schiavone was not drinking on the job.
No, no Tony drinks.
So
he was celebrating.
Shaq says that he didn't appreciate what Jade did to Brandy, though, and they showed the footage of Brandy getting her arm broken with the steel chair. Jade with them big ass shoes that she had on, busting up her arm. Them shoes would have broke her arm. He didn't even need the chair.
Yeah, he didn't have to stomp on them, just walk right across them.
Walk it dry. And so she did that to Brandy. Brandy and Shaq kind of had this nice decor back and forth, and it kind of ends, and Shaq's like, "You know, I apologize." And he says some smart ass remark. I couldn't really hear it because Shaq talks so damn low already as it is.
Yeah.
And Shaquille O'Neal, like, bruh. I don't know what you were thinking. I don't know what you were doing. But Shaq, in my opinion, had the funniest moment of the night. He ends up pissing Brandy off. Brandy goes, "What'd you say?" She was like, "See, I'm tired of this shit, the disrespect." And she says, "You know what? You're an asshole." And then grabs Tony Schiavone's drink. It was water. Derek, it was water, bro.
Still beer.
Dumps the water on Shaq's head. Bro, if you go to my Twitter right now, if you go to the Twitter, Shaq looks so funny in this picture. I put in the Everything Pro Wrestling Facebook group. You have to get in there. You got to join to talk about this.
Oh, man.
Shaq looks so funny, bro. I tag Kenny the Jet Smith. If Charles Barkley, if you had a Twitter, I would have tagged you too. Bro, Shaq looks so funny. ESPN, you better play this. Like, that was good stuff.
Yeah, that was good. His facial expression was just on point. That had to be some nasty, stale beer.
Right?
Or so, whatever the case may be, whatever it was, it had to be nasty and super cold, because no one makes a face like that.
Six said, be honest, do we want to see Shaq versus anyone in a wrestling match? I think there's money to be made here. I know people are quick to dismiss the Sting thing and the Shaq stuff. I think that there's a way to convert the casuals to come watch AEW, and this is how you do it. My dad is not like Mr. Pro Wrestling fan. He watches it enough, but he said, I'm waiting. I want to see what happens with Shaq.
Right, yeah.
Why? Because he knows who Shaq is. He's interested. He's like, oh, an athlete's getting involved in pro wrestling. He's right. Into it.
Yeah, let me get a part of this. You know, let me find somebody who's got the hookups so I can watch it. You know.
Yep. And Jesse asked the same question. Anyone want to see Shaq? All I heard was Shaq Fu sucked. B-Boy Skyline, don't you dare. Shaq Fu tournament at your house next weekend.
It's about to go down.
Chris DeZuba said it was vodka. Kenny the Jet Smith over Shaq and Charles. You might be right. Jesus, you might be right. Shout out to Kenny the Jet Smith, too. Big basketball fan, if you guys didn't know. This is gonna lead to something here. I can't envision a tag match, though. I don't know what they're setting up here.
I wouldn't give it a tag match. I think it's got to stay singles.
I don't know, dude. It's you gotta do something with this, and it can't be trash.
Yeah, no, it definitely can't be trash. Such a opportunity here for you to do something. Right.
I think it's got to be Cody versus Shaq, and then like Jade, Brandy, and like some of the other ladies in like a tag match or a six woman tag. Yo, bro, I know you don't like it, but you have to feature these people.
I can't, bro.
Imagine you're an owner and it's like, can I get on TV? Well, I don't do six man tags. So I'm not getting TV time? All right.
I mean, I get it. But.
Hater. So the Inner Circle bit is up next. Oh, hold on here. People are still on Shaq. Shaq Fu sucked. Real Men play Def Jam Vendetta. It's on in that too. Whatever, dog. Put it in. Pass the sticks.
You know what people don't want to see us in? Me and this guy right here.
About to bring up old ass WrestleMania 2000.
WrestleMania 2000 or No Mercy. Y'all don't want that kind of smoke.
I don't know if you still got it, bro.
I still got it, bro. Wow.
I gotta see.
I still got it. Listen, I'm on the cusp of trying to find
AEW Dark Counts.
I'm on the cusp. Listen, I found No Mercy. I found No Mercy. I'm in the cusp of finding WrestleMania and digging out my 64, bro. It might be happening.
Listen, I got it, bro. Whatever. If we have to film it, we have to film it. I don't have a capture card. If somebody's got one, let me know. So let's talk about the Inner Circle. The Inner Circle has threatened to break up tonight. It could happen.
Air quotes.
The Inner Circle come out as a group. Jericho's out there. Everyone's there but Santana. Santana was so upset that he didn't want to show up, Jericho said.
Yeah.
I don't know what's going on with that, but okay, Santana's not there. But you got the rest of the rowdy bunch.
Right.
And Jericho starts to address, but MJF gets on the mic and says, you know, I've been seeing a lot of rumors on the internet that I'm taking over the Inner Circle.
Right.
And he basically says, no, it's a facade, and he loves being a part of this group. Right. He is feeding you the bullshit. The bullshit meter is going off while you hear this. And during all of this, we get some bickering start to happen between MJF and Sammy.
Yep.
Sammy Guevara.
Spanish God.
Sammy Guevara is on the microphone, and he says that he is sick of MJF and all of his crap. The bickering starts to happen, but then Ortiz gets the mic. Ortiz has been on Sammy's side recently saying, I don't like him.
Right.
And Ortiz says, you know what? You're starting to grow on me like a fungus, MJF. And he really hasn't been feeling it, but he says, Sammy, shake his hand. And after all this, Sammy said, I will shake his hand. But if one more thing happens, I'm quitting the Inner Circle. And he thanked Jericho for bringing him into the Inner Circle and AEW and everything else. But he looked at him, too, and he said, I'm telling you, if one more thing happens, I'm quitting the Inner Circle.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And he shakes hands, but looks at MJF right in the face, and he says, "I'm watching you." So things are kind of better, but not really.
Yeah, they're still on the quote-unquote edge.
Then here comes Hager and Wardlow on the microphone. Jake Hager says, "I still got a problem." And they are talking about Wardlow. And he says, "He keeps staring at me." And Wardlow goes, "No, he's staring at me." What type of little kid shit is this? And they're the biggest, too. So they're like, "No, you can't stop looking at me. I can stop looking at you right now." "All right, let's stop looking at each other then." And eventually they both agree to stop staring at each other. Right. They throw their middle fingers in, and it looks like, from what we see, the inner circle is whole again. This is pro wrestling. We know better than to believe that shit. Something's happening. We just don't know when.
Yeah. So something is brewing, and you could tell it's going to happen. Just, like you said, you just don't know when, but it's bound to happen.
Let me see here. A said, "Cody won't last 10 minutes in the ring with Shaq. You guys are just disrespected. Brandy should call in Aaron Carter to handle Shaq. He beat him at only 12 years old." Peace. No one even knows who Aaron Carter is anymore, Rob.
No.
Don't trust Freeman. You got that right. DTF, baby. DTF. Backstage, Derek, we got FTR and Tully. Cash tries to take the blame for the loss at Full Gear. He says, "You know, I tried to beat the Young Bucks at their own game. I cost us the tag titles." And Tully says, "No. It was my fault because the unit wasn't whole while we were out there."
Right.
And he said, "We're only as good as we all are together as a unit."
Right.
And then Dax Hardwood disrespects Jungle Boy. And I forgot to mention this earlier. FTR, after they got the win, they definitely shoved Marco Stunt. And there was a little thing happening between them and the Lucha, or I almost said the Lucha Bros. The shit, that wrong team. The Jurassic Express. So Jungle Boy and Luchasaurus versus FTR again, I'm down. I think they could have a good feud.
I think so. You got enough in that match where people can pull off, you know, a nice set of pair of moves, you know? So something like that, I'm 100% interested in seeing.
Yeah, I definitely think we can see something happen. Now, next up, we have the six-man tag. Eddie Kingston with his boys, The Butcher and The Blade, versus Lance Archer and the Lucha Bros. The Bunny is out there with The Butcher and Blade. Pentagon gets taken out early in this matchup, Derek.
Yep. So the way this match started, you had The Butcher and the Blade, and Eddie Kingston standing in the ring. Excuse me. And then you had the Lucha Bros come out. The Lucha Bros came out after that. And then Lance Archer, Zero Middle, came out, and he was telling the Lucha Bros to watch out, you know, move out the way. They clear out. He does a suicide dive over the top ropes into the ring. So they start scrambling, you know, start scrapping out a little bit. And then once everything kind of starts commencing in the ring, that's when you see that there's about three, four, maybe five refs that pull out Pentagon and take him to the back. But it happened so quick, you didn't really notice it. Unless if you were actually, like, focused, like, 100%.
I was actually up here getting some setup done. And during all of this, Archer afterwards, he goes after the Butcher and the Blade. Archer's leg is hurt. He gets the hot tag, the Phoenix. Rey Fénix is a ball of fire in there. He's doing the flips, the hop-ups. He hits the double, like, Eddie Guerrero, I don't even know what to call it, head scissor, arm drag at the same time.
Yeah.
He takes him down with that move. Phoenix does a dive to the floor. Yikes.
Yeah.
It looked like he hit his head, but I couldn't tell if this was part of the match because of what played out after.
Right. So I think when he came out, he was like more so like right here. So I think he got enough momentum to push himself forward, but if not, that'd have been really, really bad.
Yeah, he might have been GG'd for the night because he looked like he could have went down. Phoenix dives. He eventually looks out of it, though. They bring him back into the ring. Full Blade is hit. One, two, three. The Butcher and the Blade have pet Phoenix twice now. It looked just like last week. Done. You're finished.
Right.
The Full Blade is kept strong. After the match, they're celebrating in the ring with Eddie Kingston, and Archer comes in ready to whoop dead ass. That's my favorite part about him. And eventually, the Blade is put up on the second rope, and he's about to get hit with the Blackout. The Butcher saves him, and Eddie Kingston and the boys skedaddle. Lance Archer looks strong. I even thought Jake looked smart here.
Oh, yeah.
Jake's still interfering on his behalf. I don't know if I feel like Archer's a babyface now. Kind of weird.
Yeah, but then if that's the case, then you kind of have to change Archer as well.
Right?
Just a little bit, because you being a babyface and then your manager being heel or vice versa, it cancels each other out, in my opinion. So therefore, you can't be one side here and then one side there. You have to be in the middle or concise, you know, you got to be decisive as to where you stand at. You
as
know?
A character. Yeah. I agree with that. I think that Archer's moving along fine for right now. Ace just said Eddie Kingston took the easy way out. We need Fuego del Sol versus QT. Shout out to Sammy's Vlogs. They need the views. Help him out. Yes. Interesting. Like I said, we'll see where this is going with Archer in the future. I hope that they continue to use him. I feel like he's been put on the back burner too much and then forgotten about. And then it's kind of like, we'll put him in a big match, make him look strong, and then he'll lose.
Yeah.
And we can't keep doing that to him, I feel.
No.
Red Velvet is then backstage getting her ass whooped by Jade and Nyla Rose with Vicky yelling. Big Swollen Serena Deeb tried to come in and save the day, but all hell breaks loose afterwards with this. Interesting. I feel like they're setting up a possible tag team match here.
That's what it seems like. We'll see.
Maybe. But it looks like Serena Deeb and Big Swole are going to team up here to go against some teams. Now, next, we're jumping right through this. Abaddon versus Tesha Price.
I like it.
Abaddon's entrance. Dope.
Excellent, A plus to the fullest for that. Cause and like her, like you mentioned earlier, the makeup, she has to be doing that herself.
Yep, yeah, it's on point, dude.
Like it is beautiful.
Yeah, the makeup is really good. The character is really good too. I just like what she's doing. She's very different. It reminds me of Sue Young in some aspects, but at the same time, Abaddon's still creative enough to where it's like, oh, what the hell?
Right.
What is this?
Right.
Abaddon hits a STO, and it looks like her finisher is going to be the Widow's Peak, Victoria's old finisher, with the leg set up with the neckbreaker combo. I really like that for her. She gets the 1-2-3. After the match, she begins to assault Tesha some more, and here comes Sheeta with the kendo stick. Sheeta shows up and cracks her right across the head with the kendo stick. Down goes Abaddon. She makes the save, and she gets, did I say Tisha before? Tesha.
Tesha, yeah.
She gets Tesha out of the ring, and Tesha is, like, saved, but when Abaddon sits up, a little bit of Undertaker Kane vibes, I was like, yo, this could work, man.
But you know what, though? The way she sat up, it had a feminine, a feminine movement to it, but it still fit as to why she was sitting up. So, like, you stick with... not changing how the approach is when you have them sit up. Because, like, if she sat up just like the Undertaker, then you would have said, like, oh, they kind of stole that. Instead, she led with her chest to pull herself up.
Zombie-ish more.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I appreciated that a lot.
See, that's the horror movie fans in us, like, just peeping, like, the little differences. And you can't do the Bray Wyatt crab walk because they're like, oh, you're copying Bray, blah, 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 blah.
Right.
Robert, I don't know why you have peaches in the chat. But cut it out, good sir. And Jesus said Tesha Price had a good match on Dark. And I don't know why there's steaks as well.
They get in a steak.
You're done. So Abaddon's got my interest. Pro Wrestling Shoe says this is very unpopular, but I still cannot get into Archer. I like Archer. I liked him in Japan, too. I liked him in D.H. Smith as a team.
That I can understand where you're coming from. Archer is like an acquired taste. You know, it's like, do I want the shrimp and scampies, the shrimp scampies or whatever, however it's called, Or do I want, like, caviar? You know, which one do you prefer?
Six said, yo, remember when I gave Asuka that grudge gimmick in XGW? That was very creative, good sir. Abaddon, word for word, bar for bar, in my Soldier Boy voice. Pro Wrestling Shoe says, I'm biased when it comes to Abaddon. I'm a huge horror fan, but at the same time, I feel Sue Young, Rosemary, now Abaddon. The market is a little oversaturated with this gimmick. But here's the weird thing, though. So you brought up Sue Young and Rosemary. Derek has no clue about them because he doesn't watch Impact. So he saw Abaddon do it first.
Wait, no. I know one of them.
There's not enough of an impact for him, no pun intended, for him to say anything about this.
But I think I know, was it Rosemary?
Maybe. They both were paint.
Who had on the wedding dress?
Sue Young.
Trash.
Yo, don't. I like Sue Young.
I don't like
that. I even like the Susie character. You see, you're mean. Yeah. I'm done. Trash. Done. Archer is best on the show FX. Danger Zone.
Lana.
Stop. Inner Circle says that they will join Wardlow at ringside tonight for the main event for the AEW Dynamite Diamond Ring. Cool. Whatever. Kenny Omega arrives in a helicopter with Don Callis. Nice pink socks, by the way, Don. And
it doesn't match, though.
It doesn't matter. Canadian, bro. Canadian. All right? Let my man rock.
That's racist.
That's not racist. Yeah, no, it's not. Yeah, let him rock. If he wants to wear, he can wear whatever socks he wants. This is America.
I mean, is it really, though?
What? I'm just saying. Don Callis, if he wants to rock the pink socks, I like him.
No, I'm a
fan of Cyrus the Virus. Now, the Jackal, I don't know about that. That was your boy with the acolytes, all right? Not so much for me. But Don Callis is back. And
I forgot all about that.
Yeah, he was the Jackal. He's out there.
Ooh-wee.
And they come down in a helicopter. People want to get a word with them. You're going to have to wait. Kenny Omega is great at being a douchebag. He is great. He's just got to get the Young Bucks to join him. Yeah. It just all fits, man.
Yeah, he's looking like he's from GTA Miami Vice.
Listen, Kenny Omega is being a heel. He is acting like he's the best thing ever. And they kind of just repeat what was said on Impact Wrestling. And if you guys missed it, basically Don revealed that he has known Kenny Omega since he was 10 years old. And someone in Kenny's family was a wrestler. I believe he said it was the original Sheik. Or I can't remember if he said original Sheik or someone else. I don't even think it's the original Sheik. But
he mentioned somebody. I don't remember who it was.
It was some version of the Sheik in Canada. And he said that he trained him. And once he saw Kenny Omega, this plan has been in the making for years. Mm. And I will say this. Don Callis brought up a good point. Chris Jericho versus Kenny Omega. Chris Jericho, at the time, everyone thought he was with WWE. Kenny Omega in New Japan. And Don Callis is the reason that match happened. And Tony Khan often says, if that match doesn't happen, he doesn't know if AEW would happen. Because that's how they got Jericho. That's how things started happening with the talks. Is Don Callis responsible for AEW? He is the EVP of Impact Wrestling. They bring it out, and then they kind of brag about outsmarting Jon Moxley.
That they do.
They say that there's more to come from them, and they're going to have to wait. And Kenny, you got to do it. Just do it one time for him. You haven't done it in a while. He's like, all right, Mr. Callis, I'm ready. Like, douche move. He says, I bid you adieu. Good night. Bang! Hits you with it. We haven't heard it in a while. So that's just what it's going to be. DU tripping, Sue Young. Derek, stop disrespecting Sue Young. See, I don't censor Derek. I just have to tell Derek when he's hating, and Derek's being a hater.
Sue Young is trash. That gimmick is trash.
Hater. Derek, let me see here. So Jesse says, well, there you go, Conrad. I'm wrong. AEW is more mainstream, and this could catch eyes where Sue Young and Rosemary can't. But damn, yo, you don't like Sue Young? My heart is broken. I like Sue Young. The host of the show, remember, like Sue Young. That's Derek hating. This segment sucked. Kenny is awful on the microphone. What did you think of it, Derek? Did it work for you? Because you didn't watch Impact, so this was your first time seeing it. Thank you. It was the Golden Sheik. And Rob said he was garbage. Name three matches, Rob. Kenny's uncle trained Don Callis. Thank you, Ace. Oh, well, I couldn't get the story straight, and I didn't write it down.
Yeah, he's known him since he's been 10.
So what did you think, though? Did Kenny do a good job here? Are you interested in Kenny? Do you miss Kenny as the babyface?
I kind of miss him as the babyface. I don't buy into the heel Kenny yet because it doesn't feel natural when he speaks.
Did you watch him when he was heel in New Japan? See, I was introduced to him as a heel. No. So maybe that's why I'm like, this doesn't faze me at all. I'm like, okay, he's back to where he was.
The very first time I saw Kenny Omega, AEW, I didn't know who he was until then.
Once again, see how you first see somebody can change your perception? Just pointing it out. So we'll see what's to come with Kenny Omega and the AEW Championship. Let's run down next week real quick. We've got Cody versus Angelico. We have Hardy and Private Party versus Hangman Page, Silver and Reynolds. SCU versus The Acclaimed. Serena Deeb and Big Swole versus Eva Lys and Diamante. That should be a good tag match.
I'm interested in that one the most.
Now, Dynamite schedule update. December 23rd, they are doing a holiday show, but it's going to air at 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time because guess what's coming back?
So can we say LeBron needs help?
December 30th, okay. We have New Year's Smash Day 1, special guest commentator Chris Jericho.
Baby!
Going up against New Year's Evil on January 6th, it's New Year's Smash Night 2. Mm. But guess who the guest commentator is?
Oh boy, am I ready for this one?
Snoop Dogg.
I'm ready for that one.
After Nate Robinson getting knocked out, I'm down to see Snoop on commentary.
Oh lord.
Snoop was great on commentary. This is actually a great pickup by Cody and them to do this.
It really is.
Just have Snoop come out, do a match or two. It'll be fun. And we cannot talk about some of the products that Rockstar wanted to bring out in this. AEW Dynamite Diamond Ring. Let's run through this really quick here. MJF with the Inner Circle in his corner versus Orange Cassidy. MJF powerbomb on the side of the ring. MJF is controlling the match. Orange Cassidy has an injury to his hand that's being targeted because he's trying to take away the orange punch. Ban it. Oh, wrong guy.
Because if you didn't see it, he stuck, because I think you missed it, he stuck his, MJF stuck his fingers into...
the ring post.
Yeah, the ring post where they tighten it up at, and he was pulling back on it. So good use of...
targeting the body.
Yeah.
I like it. Eventually, the best friends go backstage and they get the Varsity Blondes, Top Flight, and a couple other people to come on out to back them up because the Inner Circle's got like way too many people out there with baseball bats. We got socks with baseballs in it to beat people. They've got a lot of weapons. So they're out there getting ready to go at it. And I thought in this match that would be the downfall. But eventually, the referee is getting distracted by everything happening on the outside. MJF gets the bat thrown to him. He hits the bat on the ground and throws it at Orange Cassidy and falls down and lays there. Orange Cassidy says, nope. Hands in the pocket. Oh, son of a bitch. Pockets. And MJF's looking around like, what the hell is this? And then Orange Cassidy gets him when he picks up the bat and he lays down. And it looks like he did something. The ref doesn't call anything. An orange punch is hit. And I thought JR was going to lose it. What a shot! What a shot! And there's kick out. MJF kicked out a bunch of times in this, which I thought were like really close pinfalls.
Yeah.
He kicked out of the beach break, the orange punch, and I think one other time. And I was like, yo, he kicked out of a lot of things here. Orange hits what was this? Oh, that was before that, the tornado DDT and stuff.
Yeah.
So he hits him. He's down and out. Everything happens. There's interference, though, because... who comes out but Miro and your boy, Kip Sabian.
A.K.A. Dad.
So they come out.
And number two, because you know, not Frankie Kazarian.
Christopher Daniels.
Christopher Daniels. He's number one dad. He running out there, button up shirt. Mind you, top button has to be unbuttoned. It's not official if it's not unbuttoned. Dress pants and dress shoes. Chest poked out.
Knock it off.
Just saying.
Miro dominates when he comes out there. Miro looked like a star tonight a little bit. Like they made him look like, yeah, we got plans for this dude. So I don't know if people like pissed Tony off asking him about Miro, but he was like, all right. Miro ends up knocking out Orange Cassidy, and MJF crawls over like the little piece of shit that he is, pins him. Earl Hebner count, not that slow, but one, two, three, and MJF is still holding the AEW Dynamite Diamond Ring.
Do you think they'll call this back?
What?
This match.
You talking about like that ref footage bullshit?
Yeah.
No.
No, you don't think so?
They better not do that shit.
Why not?
Definitely. It'll make him look very bad. Match was great. Finish was very meh. I think you had to add a little heat, though, to the best. Because Miro and Kip Sabian have actually been getting their asses kicked by them a little bit, I feel.
Yeah.
Since at least they beat them up over the cardboard video game. They had to give them something here, Jesse. Yeah. So I'm going to go with that. Six said, New Japan Bullet Club Kenny was the best. If y'all didn't see that run, you missed out on what Kenny could do. That's the reason why he was the most sought after talent last year. So he's telling you check out some New Japan D with Kenny Omega as the heel.
I'm down to check out New Japan.
Yeah, check out him versus Okada. Just watch any of those trilogy matches, and I just want you to tell me what you think after.
All right, I'll pop it up. I'll pull it up tonight.
All right. Y'all paying to see that Mayweather fight? Yo, I'm not paying to see that massacre. Mayweather is going to steal that boy's pride. Big facts. Kip was the one who's been getting his ass kicked. Jesus, you are right there as well, my good sir. But that is the Dynamite review. I kind of ran through this. It went a little longer than we had hoped. But we're talking, we're having fun, so fuck it. That's my life motto today. If you guys could, like I said, leave me a comment down below if you watch this video after the fact, or if you're listening to this on the podcast version. Send me a tweet at EPW Show. All the socials are actually down below if you guys want to talk to us. So, what did you guys think of tonight's show? Put it in the chat. Tell me, I guess, what do you want to do tonight, Derek? Out of 10? Let's do out of 10.
Okay.
For the show tonight.
All right.
How did you feel about the show tonight?
I give it a 7.
You're going with a 7? I'm going to go with a 6.5.
Okay.
I feel like it was a 6.5 show. I went in expecting it to not be as great as last week because you can't hit a home run every week.
No. It just doesn't happen. It doesn't happen.
It doesn't work.
No.
No offense, Yankees. I'm a fan.
It's not believable.
You can't hit a home run every week.
No.
It's not going to work like that. You need people just... Sometimes you need to hit a single. All right, cool. I'm good with that. And that's what tonight felt like. They tried to hit a single. All right? And it was what it was. Rob said 6.5 out of 10 as well. Ace is giving it the thumbs up. Jesus said thumbs up.
I mean, yeah.
Six out of 10 from Rockstar. Jesus is going 7.5 out of 10. And if you give it a few more or a few less, I wouldn't be mad. Yeah, I think anywhere from a 6 to a 7.5 is fair.
Yeah, I agree. It just wasn't one of those shows where it was just like,
6 at 5.9 out of 10. They all can't be bangers. I respect it.
No.
I respect it. I know exactly what he's talking about with that. It is what it is for this show. It wasn't the best, and I'm sure there will be worse shows in the future. I'm just telling you guys.
Yeah.
Prepare yourselves. But as far as this goes, we will try to be back next week. I know people are wondering, like, War Games thoughts and things like that. Maybe the next time I get Derek over and we have, like, I don't know, 15, 20 minutes. Maybe we could just run through like WWE stuff.
Yeah.
To catch people up. Because I know people are probably like, what do you guys think of Survivor Series and War Games and shit? Oh, I've got thoughts. And you better be glad there was no review for Survivor Series. War Games I thought was decent though. I thought it was a good show.
Yeah, War Games was decent.
It was a fun show. Get Cyberpunk. I just saw. By the way, Derek got his PS5 for those that care.
I did. Funny story, but I'll save that for another time when we got more time.
Yeah. So, for myself, Derek, we are out. Thank you guys so much for joining us for this AEW Dynamite stream. Join us next week when we will review the show and talk everything pro wrestling. We are out. Peace. Everyday pro wrestling, they can never be you. Listen to the podcast for the people. The best show that's here, so listen in. Let the knowledge begin. The opinions, the lesson, yes. By the fans, for the fans, not many in this can understand.
This the podcast to show you who I am. Conrad Cushman, the legend in the plans. Please listen every day to the showcase. The opinions and knowledge that anyone can take. Showing you how it is done. Proving I am number one. What a legend becomes. This is now my time to show you that I am here. This podcast just to make it loud and clear. By the fans. For the fans. Not many who's here can understand everything pro wrestling. They can never be you. Listen to the podcast here for the people. The best show that's here, so listen in. Let the knowledge begin. The opinion and the lesson, yes. Everyday pro wrestling, they can never be you. Listen to the podcast for the people. The best show that's here, so listen in. Let the knowledge begin. The opinions, the lesson, yes.
Are you looking for the newest and hottest in the world of pro wrestling? Then check out the amazing action on Powerslam.tv, the biggest indie pro wrestling channel in the world. Get over 6,000 hours of the best events from over 150 of your favorite promotions from 20 different countries around the globe. Brands like Progress Wrestling, Evolve Wrestling, Combat Zone, Defy, PCW Ultra, PWX, Over the Top, Shine, and hundreds of others with fresh content added every day for only $5.99 per month. Get your free trial today at powerslam.tv.
What's going on, EPW Nation? It's your boys from the Everything College Basketball Podcast, Josh and Peyton, here to remind you all that college basketball season is right around the corner. Yes, we finally know it's right around the corner. And Peyton, there's only one place people should go for all the college basketball excitement.
Well, Josh, the only place to find all college basketball hoops all the time is Everything College Basketball. Everything College Basketball can be listened to on several podcast hosting sites like Spotify, Google Podcasts, and Apple Podcasts. And we can also be found on our Facebook group at facebook.com/groups/everythingcollegebasketball.
Yes, make sure you are joining the group with a couple other 100 people and growing by the day as we march into year number 3 of the Everything College Basketball networking system. Now, let's get back to Conrad and Everything Pro Wrestling.
What's going on, Everything Pro Wrestling listeners? This is Jesse Carter over at the Pro Wrestling Shoot Podcast. The Pro Wrestling Shoot Podcast covers interviews from your favorite independent wrestling stars, along with some current AEW, Impact, and former WWE stars. We also cover some of your favorite classic pay-per-views from WWE, WCW, ECW, and Impact Wrestling. We also cover some current reviews on all AEW, WWE, and NXT pay-per-view events. Come check us out on all your favorite audio podcast platforms, including Spotify, Google Podcasts, and Apple Podcasts. Follow us on our Facebook and Instagram pages over at The Pro Wrestling Shoot, and follow me on Twitter at Carter Inc. That's CarderInc. All right, let's get back to Conrad and Everything Pro Wrestling.